I'm so glad that you guys are here. It is much better to be in person than to just be online, but we're thankful for those of you that are tuning in online. Also, just a couple of things that are going on. One is we signed a contract with the Rosé Center, and that's where we'll be for Easter. And so we're excited about that and excited that we'll have one service I believe it's at 10 o'clock on Easter. And so I wanted to just let you know that it's something to, you can invite friends to, and we'll be in and out, everyone together, kids, everyone, and we're going to worship God in the resurrection that we find in Jesus. And so we're excited about that. We're going to continue on in our winter storm warning. I want to welcome you back. If you're a college student, hopefully you had an awesome time on your spring break. And we're been walking through this series. Last week we talked about what does it look like to survive in marriage and being in the car together. We looked at some awesome hairdos of the 80s. That might have been my favorite part. But today we're going to be looking at what Peter has for us when it talks about family and really family of God. So let's pray before we begin. Father, we come and we ask humbly that you just meet us, that we would just enjoy our time together as we open your word, that you'd speak clearly to us, that we'd hear you and we'd respond accordingly. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Recently, my kids had, and I think lots of kids had, a six-day weekend. They had a midwinter break thing going, and so they had Friday off, and then they had Monday off, and then they had two snow days. And so they are pretty excited. This is pretty awesome time for them. They loved it. But at the end of the excitement of having that time off, they began to fight and bicker over ridiculous things. Like, one of them was, whose turn is it to feed the dog, right? This is like a 15-second operation. There's a bin of food that you take a cup and pour it in. But they made this into something that they decided to fight about. And then, you know, hey, whose sock is that on the floor? Well, this is like, you know, 22 seconds of their life that they're never getting back if they would just pick it up and walk and put it in the dirty clothes. But instead, it was like we needed to take DNA tests to see whose it was. And they're bickering and they're going at each other. And these things quickly turned and escalated into really epic battles. There were times where we had to send them into solitary confinement, also known as the rooms. So we would send them into the room and there'd be crying and blaming and yelling. As a parent, it's mind-numbing to go through this. And you go, why are you fighting about that with your brother? You explain to them that you want them to get along. And, you know, when you fight like that, it upsets the whole house. What are you doing? Any other people live that dream, or is it just the pastor and his kids that live that dream, right? Like, it's just life with kids. It reminded me of some epic battles that I had with my sister. My sister is 5 years older than me, but we managed to have some really good fights. And the reason I remembered this was we had some friends that came over, and they brought the game Clue. I told them that my mother had banned me from that game for life, but they insisted that we would play this game. The reason my mother banned me for life for that game is because of one of my sisters and my fights over the game. It was stupid, the fight, and we were having it because I made fun of my sister for being clueless. See what I did there? Yeah. She got all mad, and we went at it with words. Well, my mom, if you're here today, I just want to tell you that I've been paroled from your life sentence of not playing Clue, and I played. And so I played the game. But that was just one of many fights. It also, as I started to think about that one, I started to think about other ones with my sister. There was one time where she had the phone, and I needed to talk to the person she was talking to. I was like, give me the phone so I can just ask one question, because I had things to do. You know, I was like 7 years old and I had some mischief to get into and something to do. And she would not give me the phone. And I tried to grab it for her and she gave me a stiff arm right to the face. So I'm 7 years old and I'm like, well, she's 5 years older than me. So I bit her hand. And she took that phone as one of those old rotary phones, things heavy. And she went, whoop-boom, right on my head. So if you ever wonder why I'm a little bit crazy and a little bit goofy, it's my sister's fault. She whacked me right in the head with a big heavy phone. But I was just thinking about all of those fights that we had, and we had fights and our parents hated it, and every parent wants more from their kids. They have expectation that their kids are going to get along at some level. The reality is God is no different. Our Heavenly Father expects His kids to get along. Not to never fight, I don't have that expectation, but to get along and figure out how to fight nice and how to live with each other. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, as Peter talks about this. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to be going through just 8 through 12. When we read this, we're just going to look at it, and then we're going to unpack of what it looks like to be family. Remember, Peter's talking to a bunch of churches that have been scattered all over the place. They have issues with government, going, hey, you can't live out that religion. And so they moved into another place. They had to leave their homes. And some of the only people that they really know are the church people. So they're living in difficult times. It's hard to find work. And everything that was familiar to them is no longer familiar to them. And they have this family called the church. And this is what he says. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. I love those first two verses. Peter just got done talking about how we're to work, how to work if you're a slave and a master, and then he talks about marriage, how we should live in that, and then he talks about family. He talks about the church and what it should look like. He has told them that God loves them. He chose them, and He gave us and them an inheritance. He made us royal priests. He brought us into the family. Remember, Peter is the disciple that Jesus calls out often. One day they were fishing, and he said, hey, come on, let me ride on your boat. And then they flipped the nets on the other side of the boat. And they do it because it's Jesus, and their nets were filled. Peter's the guy who gets more ink in the Bible as a disciple than any of the other ones. And often he's the spokesperson for the disciples. 2.5 years after they've been following Jesus, they're walking along their way, and they're going to Caesarea Philippi, which is the birth center of the gods at the time. And Jesus stops, and he says, hey, guys, who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? And someone responds, well, some say you're Elijah. Others say you're a miracle worker. Others say you're a prophet. And then he switches the question, Jesus does. And he says, who do you say I am? And I think that there's this moment where everyone is like, okay, Peter, you got to answer this one. We get this one wrong. We're in trouble. We've been with him 2.5 years. I think there's a pause. We don't know that. It's not in the scripture. But Peter answers. And he says, you're the Christ, Son of the living God. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's not Jesus' last name, remember. That's saying that he's the anointed one, that he's the Messiah, that he's the chosen one. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus responds a little bit later in that. And he says, upon this rock, I will build this. And the word Peter is translated Petra, which is rock. There's some disagreement about this. And they said, well, he was saying that he was going to build his church on Peter. I think it's a play on words. I don't think he's building it on a mere man. Now, Peter was awesome. Remember, he speaks at Pentecost and 3,000 people come to know Christ, because the work of the Holy Spirit is coming out of him. It's not because of Peter. He's just a mere man. What Jesus was saying was on that statement, that's what I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church on that statement that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. In every true church, every local assembly that holds to that is a true church. If you don't hold to that, you are not the church. You're not a part of the fam. The reason that we sit here is not because of Peter. It's because we hold to that statement. It's because we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who went to the cross for us. That's why we're family. It was Jesus' blood on the cross shed for our sins, as we just sang about. But it's also Jesus' blood that makes us brothers and sisters. We're blood brothers and sisters because of what Jesus did on that cross. And Peter got it right. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. This is what the family does. The first thing he says is we live in harmony with one another. Isn't that every parent's desire? That their kids would live in harmony with each other, right? They'd be like-minded. And all of us go, yeah, that would be awesome to be in a place and a family where everyone was like-minded. And some of us go, man, I can't wait until everyone sees it the way I do it. And this place will be one sweet place, won't it? What Peter is telling the church is have the mind of Christ. Every Sunday morning we come together, we have a family reunion. Can we just admit this, that we're some of the most jacked up people on the planet Earth? But man, I love my family. I love that we're family. Just think about it. Some of you, I would never be friends with, and you would never be friends with me, just because our personalities don't mix, right? We wouldn't be friends, and we wouldn't be family just because demographically we would differ. I probably wouldn't associate with some of you, or I wouldn't have the opportunity to. I love that we're different. Some of us have different upbringings and have walked through different life things in life, and we'd probably never associate with each other. But because of what Jesus did, that we're blood brothers and sisters, now we associate with each other. We're connected to each other. I was talking with Jen Lin, who is one of our elders. We were just chatting before a meeting that we were having, and I said, when you were growing up, like, what did you guys eat for breakfast? He's from China. And he said, it would be the equivalent of a pot sticker. I don't know about you, but I've never had a pot sticker for breakfast. But for them, that was normal. We would have pot stickers, basically. And I thought, man, I've never had one of those for breakfast, but I want to, right? Like, those things are delicious. And he started to talk about his life, and he talked about, like, when he was growing up, that they only ate like twice a day because they were super poor. And I grew up somewhat poor, and yet we always had three meals at least, right? And we're just different. And Zhen Lin's a little older than me, and he's from China, and I'm from the, grew up in the UP. Like, how would we ever connect outside of this place? I was just thinking about that. And I love Zhen Lin. I think he's awesome. He's my brother, right? He's my brother in Christ. And we connect because we both said he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we became brothers. There's no place on earth that I would go, man, Zhen Lin and I, we would cross paths, we'd be best buddies, and he would say the same thing. Because we come from such different places. And yet, in the family of God, we have differences, and we have, he brings us all together. We look around this place, and some of you go, man, that's, just for a second, just look around. Like, that's your brother, that's your sister in Christ. This is our family. This is our family reunion. That's what we're doing here today. This is what Jesus set up. We have unity because of Jesus. We may not come from or have been born in the same place, but we got to the same place through Jesus. We're part of his family. We're part of what God put together. Number one thing is live in harmony or like-mindedness. Number two is we're sympathetic to each other. The Greek word here carries both sympathy and empathy. So part of this is trying to understand each other from the other person's perspective. Part of family is I will do something for you that I won't do for any other stranger. Part of family is I will let something slide and overlook in a different way. You ever have a crazy uncle, right? Or a crazy aunt, and you go to the family reunion and you're like, You would never hang out with them and you would be appalled by some of the things that they do. But you're like, that's Uncle Bobby. Like, that's Uncle Bobby. I love Uncle Bobby, right? And that's somewhat the family of God. Like, oh man, that's Uncle, right? He's crazy, right? But man, they're family. They're family. Part of family is I try to understand and I try to walk in the other person's shoes. Part of family is I try to give the benefit of the doubt. Part of this is that we live with each other. Family gets extra grace. He says, now love one another. Love each other as brothers and sisters. For my kids, I expect them to care about each other, to have each other's back when they go to school, that they can have, man, they can have different friend groups, they can have different activities, different classes, but if their brother needs them, they're there. That's my expectation of them, that they treat their brothers differently than they treat any other kid in school. I think that's what God's expectation of us is also, that we treat each other differently, be compassionate toward one another, be warm, encouraging, and be humble around each other. You know, I can tell you that not everyone's preference is always met here at Evangel, in this local assembly, in this family reunion gathering. Sometimes people don't like what we're doing. Some people say, well, the music's too loud, the coffee isn't hot enough, or is not served long enough. We don't sing the right kind of music, the sermons are too long or too short. My favorite one this past year is the mass thing, and I'm just going to go there for just a moment, just because I would get emails, literally, and I just know that I just think it's just funny, it's not that big of a deal. I would get one email that would say, everyone should have mask on if we care about people, and then I would get another one that would say, no one should have mask, what are you guys doing? These are the same, this same Monday, complaint department open, same Monday, two different emails, right? And you're like, wow, like we're trying our best, right? We're trying our best. And I think we've kind of made it through, hopefully, yay, right? We made it through, right? I hope. Sometimes at Evangel, we get criticized for trying to take away barriers for people. Other churches, other local assemblies of the family criticize us. And they say, you're making it too easy for people to come to church. Really? You think that's a problem? You know, I'll tell you one of the things. We got really criticized for Willy Goat. We got criticized. That does not belong in a church. Really? Our kids love that. Our kids raised money for that. Remember that? They were a part of the mission because they wanted their friends to have a place to go to meet, know, and follow Jesus, and they're on mission with the church. Really? Really? You think that? There are churches that have criticized us for that. It's just dumb in my mind, but what does it look like to be humble? It's not about me. It's not about me. Is the family creating an environment that people, no matter where they are coming from or what they have done, can experience God? That's the question that we ask. Can they experience God here? If we ever go away from helping people to meet, know, and follow Jesus, please fill up my email box. Fill it up. I know you have preferences. So do I. Just so you know, not all of mine or Travis's or John's or the leadership team are the same, number one. Nor are they represented fully. The question that we always ask, and we're always, are we effective to the mission of the church, to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus? When we answer that question, yes, then sure, have an opinion because you're a part of the family. But if your preference is not met, be humble. It's kind of mindset that you come in and you go, maybe today's not about me. I was talking to a friend about parenting, and he said he's trying to teach his boy that if he sees someone working and he's got nothing to do, go and help that person. I thought, man, that's really good. That's really good. Like, man, because he said, you know, if you do that, it'll help them. It'll make the job easier and actually probably more fun because there's multiple hands working together and many hands make light work. And so he's trying to teach his son this. What if the church operated like that? Like when you see somebody in the family needing help, or you see something that's going on, and we just go, man, I am in it to win it. I'm going to come alongside. I don't even know sometimes what I'm doing, but I can grab a shovel, I can grab a broom, I can grab whatever I can, and I can do this. And we're on mission together. The family is doing this thing together. And we think in those terms, like, how can I serve? How can I be a part? What can I do to do this thing? When we did Profile Saturday not too long ago, we talked about this idea, and this came from some time away with the leadership team just praying and going, God, what do you want for us in this year? What do you want to play out in the life of the church? And basically what it came down to was, we really feel like God's saying, push play. Let's continue to go. Let's continue to create a video that God has created for us, a family video, if you will. And let's do this thing together. Let's be on mission together. And let's bring some of the things back. Let's fully try to engage with the 82% of people who are not in church on any given Sunday. There's roughly 30-something thousand people in Houghton County. And then you get the influx every September of about 10,000 or 9,000, 8,000, whatever it is, of college students. And you got about 40,000 people who are disconnected from the family. And we said, we're going to push play in a way that we see new family members. We talked about one of these things in that, and you may know what this is. It's a VCR. Put a tape in here, and it wheels around, and it goes. And we talked about a couple of things. One is, these things were notorious for a couple of things. One is that this thing would be blinking all the time. The light would be blinking all the time because no one could figure out how to set the timer on the things. You had to be like an electrical engineer to figure out what was going on. You could rent these at your local video store. We don't have either of those anymore, right? We don't have VCRs and we don't have local video stores. But you could go down there and you'd rent it and you'd have a movie night. The other thing that would go wrong with these things is there's a lot of components to them. If you see inside of them, there's tons of components inside of them. And one of those little components would go out and it would break down. The VCR, in its heyday, the really expensive ones were about $1,500 and the cheaper ones were $300 or $400. But they would break down. One of the things that we talked about in this is that God wants us to play a video for 2022 together and that we would be all working together. So if there's a little flux capacitor that goes out in there, what happens? It's not only bad for the flux capacitor, because it's not doing its job, but it's also bad for the whole VCR, right? It doesn't work properly. Or it puts strain on other parts to make it kind of chug along, right? And we said, what if we just said, hey, wherever we can help, whatever we can do, we want to play this video out. We want to push play that God can create this incredible video for 2022. That we would live this thing out together as family. What would it look like for us to do that? Part of it is for us to be humble. It's a mindset. It's going, you know, it's not about my coffee. It's not about my seat. Maybe walking in today is about somebody else. Maybe walking in today is, how can I serve somebody else? Well, how can I connect with someone? If we all did that, how amazing. Like, who doesn't want to be a part of that family, right? Like, that'd be awesome. Part of being humble is working for the good of the whole. Like, my friend's trying to teach his kid, hey, look and say, hey, if there's someone over here who needs help, man, I'm going to do that. All working as one to play the video that God has called us to. The last thing Peter says, be humble, love each other, be empathetic toward each other. Then he says, fight nice. He says, fight nice. He expects that there's going to be friction. We're living together. We're serving together. I don't expect my kids not to have friction. They're going to have it at times. I woke up on Thursday to my wife speaking loudly, also known as yelling. And she said, you two stop. Don't talk to each other. Don't even grunt at each other. And I started laughing as I was getting out of bed going to see what happened. So I was taking the kids to school that morning and I said, hey, what was going on? It was the two youngest ones. And he said, I thought he was going to try to tickle me. So I bent really quickly and I elbowed him in the head. No, you didn't. You did it on purpose. And it was like WWF was it was starting to happen right in the Suburban, right? Like they were about to throw down right there because someone had wronged them, right? Someone had wronged them. And I was like, no, stop. And I wish I would have been a little bit smarter in my, and finally I just had to get louder and say, stop it, right? Don't even grunt at each other. Peter figures that we're going to fight. He says, do not repay, in verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. He says, church, you're going to experience evil at times in here, in the family. When we think of evil, we think of murder or Hitler. And yes, those are evil. But evil is simply anything that is contrary to what God would want us to do. There's a way of God, and anything outside of the way of God is evil. There's not a gray area, it just is, right? Here's what he's saying. People, if you're going to be a part of the family, if you're going to be in church, there are times that there's going to be an insult. There's going to be somebody that rubs you the wrong way. You're going to come across people in church that will be evil. There will be evil in that situation. But I'm glad. I'm glad they're here. I'm glad I'm here. Because if we made it out just about holy people, there would be like five of us up here, and I would not be included. And there would be five up here who are liars and Pharisees, and they'd be singing Kumbaya by themselves. Because we're all broken, we're all messed up. And sometimes when you're in church, you get rubbed the wrong way. You know, one of the things that someone once said to me is, you're aloof. And I said, oh, okay. Oh, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, I tried to talk to you in church, and you kind of seemed like you were somewhere else. It was between the first service and the second service. And my mind is, my mind's on second service. And I didn't mean anything by it. I'll stay here, you know, to the end of times after the service. But in between those things, my mind's a little foggy at times. And my mind's a little bit like, hey, I got to reset this thing. And I got to bring the same thing that God has called me to bring for another time. And it wasn't intentional. It just was. But I rubbed them the wrong way. And I didn't mean to. It just happened. You're around here long enough, you're going to get rubbed the wrong way. We're broken people coming together as family. But we understand grace. We understand forgiveness because we received it. But in reality, we at times we don't have, if we're honest, we have no grace for Christians or our family. I expect more from them. They're Christians. Yeah. I expect. You're going to come across conflict. You're going to come across wrongs against you. Here's the deal in families that are functioning well. What do? You have conversations. Not guns a-blazing. You have conversations. You walk in their shoes. You try to listen. Sometimes you overlook if you can. But it's not like, hey, let's just sweep it under the rug. That's dysfunction in family. We don't sweep things under the rug. So we pick up the rug at some point. That's dysfunction. If we're sweeping it under the rug, you need to have a conversation with somebody. We talk about it. Bible says if you know that your brother or sister has an issue, go to them and talk to them. It also says if you have an issue with your brother or sister, you go to talk with them. It catches you both ways. Sneaky like that Bible is. If you're around church long enough, you will be wrong. Notice what he says at the end of it, though. He says, so that you may inherit a blessing. I like that. I like that better than the conversation thing, but I want the blessing thing. In church, I think we get wronged and we leave the blessing on the table often. And we just cut them out. We stay away from them. We've now lost a brother or a sister in that relationship, and you leave the blessing on the table. I'm not saying that every conversation is going to repair everything. But it's a starting point. It's a starting point. Remember, Peter spent two chapters going, in spite of who you are, this is how God loves you. In spite of what you deserve, this is what God is willing to give you. Last week we talked about, in our families, wives, live out the gospel as you submit to your husbands. Husband, live out the gospel as you are considerate of your wives. Now, he says, this is how you live out the gospel in the family of God. Throughout the scripture, the church is called the family of God. The church should be a place where everyone wants to be a part of. It's the body of Christ. It's the priesthood of believers. A lot of people hate Christ because they hate Christians. Many people don't go to church because they've been. And it wasn't the family they always wanted. If we're doing this, we're going to be like-minded. We're going to be sympathetic. We're going to be loving each other as brothers and sisters. We're going to be compassionate. We're going to be warm. We're going to be accepting. Even when wronged, we're going to respond with blessing. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that family, right? It sounds like being a part of Cheers, right? Or Friends, where everyone knows your name and where I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. They're in those shows, they're encouraging, they're having tough conversation, they're loving each other in the midst of the wrong. And we go, man, that's how the church should be. You know that there are gangs in America that do this better than the church at times? They accept people in and they become family. And not all their activities are legal, but and hopefully the churches are, but they accept people in. They have the hard conversations. Man, the church should be like that. Church should be family. We should be tied to this. When we introduce ourselves, I should introduce myself, Levi Madison, Evangel Community Church. It should be that close. That's my family. We should think of each other that way. This is our family. These are our peeps. Even though some of us are crazy, it's okay. You know, I don't get when people say I'm a follower of Jesus and then they say I don't go to church or I'm a nominal attender. I think, like, what's that conversation going to be like when you get to heaven? I'm not saying you're not a Christian, but I'm saying you might want to think about this. You go to heaven and Jesus is standing there. He goes, what do you want? Well, I want to come in. We didn't like those people all the way down here, the old family reunion down here. Why do you want to come in and hang out with them for eternity? Because they ain't different, right? Why do we not connect the dots on this? This is the family reunion. There's going to be a great banquet. I hope every one of you are there. Man, we're going to have a party. Because we're going to be in glory together with our Savior Jesus. God's going to be there. And it's going to be awesome, right? It's going to be awesome. But we're going to be a family. We're going to do this thing. This is kind of dress rehearsal for the big party. We know that we're going to spend eternity with each other, and every week we're having family dinner together. The Bible says that do not forsake the assembly. And part of that is so we can practice the one another's. Do you know there are like 57 one another's in the scripture? Love one another. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Live in harmony with one another. Build up one another. Why are these here? Because Daddy really cares about his kids. He cares about them getting along. He loves us all. Dad goes, man, this is my family, and this is the type of family we are. It should be so much so that the world goes, man, I want to be a part of those families. Those people care. Those people accept. Those people, they don't have it all together. But they're in it together. Peter's going, hey, church, I know you like your seat, your good coffee. You might even like when we open the Word of God to know how to live. Those are good things, but Dad wants to create a family. And when you are family that Dad always wanted, it's going to attract other people to this. God wants us to be connected to each other, to be a blessing to each other, to be a blessing to others. It's not just about other people, though. Peter says, you have a blessing, and then he goes on and he says, if we will create this, it will be good for you and I. Verse 10, it says, For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. What is Peter saying? If you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. I just came up on top of my head. You can use that at any time you want, that saying, right? How many times have we said that to your kids, right? That's Peter's telling us, hey, that's what God's saying. Don't say it. Keep your mouth closed. Be a person who seeks peace. Verse 11 says, stop doing what is wrong and do what is right. You know the junk that's keeping you from God's best. And he simply says, stop it. Stop it. I know that's really deep, but that's what it says. Stop it. Stop doing that. Be a person who seeks peace and pursue it. I was thinking about this statement, seek peace. What does that mean? It doesn't mean don't have hard conversations. It probably means have hard conversations with brothers and sisters. It doesn't mean just be Mr. Nice Guy or Nice Lady so everyone likes you. There are times when peace is unavailable. But it shouldn't come because of our mouths. It shouldn't become because the evil or the deceit is coming from our mouths. I was driving to Wisconsin. I was picking up a cow or a half a cow that Jen and I bought. And I was thinking about this idea of peace. And I was thinking about, like, God calls us to be peacemakers. And I was like, well, how does that all work? And, like, there are times where it doesn't feel like peace is just readily available. And I'm like, well, God, you know, this is happening, this is happening. We're having this big, long conversation. And I was reminded of what the words of Paul. I was reminded of this passage in Romans chapter 12. It says, if it is all possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. The question when we're seeking peace is, how do we live at peace with everyone? Are we trying to live at peace with everyone? Are you doing the right things? It doesn't mean that you're not having hard conversations. It probably means you are. There are times where it's not going to be available to you, peace. But then he says, don't take revenge. Let Dad take care of it. I'm still learning this one. Because I have a scale of justice in my heart. Do you know why I have a scale of justice in my heart? Because my daddy has a scale of justice in his heart. I'm created in his image, and you have one too. And so when you feel wronged, you're like, Daddy, come on. Let's get this on. Let's take this person out, right? I sometimes give suggestions. And he often says, dude, calm down. A little bit much for this situation. And then I give another suggestion because that's the kind of kid I am. Like, okay, just burglars at their house, steal their stuff, make them feel the pain. We have a miscalibrated justice-o-meter, but our Heavenly Father doesn't. He knows exactly what needs to be corrected. He knows the wrongs that have been done to us. And it's a question of, do we trust Daddy? It's kind of like in that passage, Paul's going, wait till your dad gets home, right? Like, I kind of feel bad. Like, that's scary. This is the God of all creation. The God of all creation. And we're going, man, I'm just going to give it to you, God. Sick him. Do your thing. Daddy's going to come home at some point, and he's going to make all things right. Do we trust that? What he asks is that if we can, as far as it depends on us, let's live at peace with each other. Let's pursue peace. I think too many Christians get this wrong, that they think pursuing peace, and I'm just going to say this, I think they think pursuing peace is being a nice person. Sometimes it is. It's using your words carefully. I think that's the nice part, but I think you have to have those hard conversations. Think about Jesus. He had some really difficult conversations with people. Including us. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Savior. Well, the only reason we need a Savior is that you're a sinner. And if you tell somebody that you're a sinner, that's not very nice, right? That's not being Mr. Nice Guy. He should have said, you're okay and I'm okay, right? That would be nice in our culture. That's not okay, though. He says, no, you stop that. I often think of the woman where he says, no, you don't have one husband, you have five husbands. Go and sin no more. That's a really difficult conversation, very uncomfortable, I would imagine. But he tells the truth with grace, and that's us. That's what he expects of the fam, is we would do the same thing. Oh, remember, peace is not always there, because remember what happens to him. He dies on a cross, because I think he was a man of peace, but he told the truth. He had hard conversations. He told the Pharisees, hey, you're whitewashed tombs, and they didn't like that so much, and so they killed him, right? Last verse. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the ears are attentive to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. God will watch over the righteous. These are those who are walking with God. They're not holy on their own. I'm not holy on my own, but I'm trying to walk with him. It says that God will never take his eyes off you. You're his kid. There are plenty of times for me, God has to come and we have to talk. Late at night in bed, we talk. And I hear his advice and I try to work it out because I'm his kid and he wants the best for me. He wants it for you too. Secondly, Peter says he actively is hearing our prayers. Peter is quoting Psalms 34. You can read it this week. That's your homework. Really beautiful passage. And then it says, because God will stand against those who do wrong. We don't have to do that. God takes care of that. Peter says, this is how we do church. This is how we do family. If you will live this out, he says, it'll be better for all of us, but it'll be better for you too. He says that you're going to have better days. You're going to have good days because of this. Let's pray. Father, we come. We're family. There are times where we rub each other the wrong way. There's times where we say things we probably shouldn't say. There's sometimes we skip conversations that we should have. God, I ask that you would just empower us. That you would empower us to know when to be quiet, to know when to speak, to know when to listen. God, I pray that we would be a place, that Evangel would be a place where people want to be a part of because we accept each other, because we love each other, because we're family. God, that's a work of your Spirit. And I ask for that for all of us today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.